Okay, so you have, if you are on the mailing list, you got dispensed to you three items. One is called a numeric sample. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. Then there's this creature who represents something on the second page, and that has to do with the full the times of the Gentiles. We'll talk about that one mostly today. And then what was the third? Third one, if you got it, it was it's an 8.5, or I'm sorry, it's 11x17 paper that's entitled, and we don't have that here. It's entitled what? That one's the mystery.
The secrets and mysteries.
It's something to that effect. I'm sorry, I don't have it either. I've got to pull it up on my screen, and we'll use that for a little bit over the next few weeks. But anyway, to begin with, let me just make a few comments about this numerics issue. So 5 or 6 weeks ago, the last time I spoke, we looked at this subject. I'm trying to remember the name of the subject. It was I don't have it here in any of my notes, but it had to do with numerics and the and the word mystery in the scriptures. So bear with me for a few minutes here till I get my bearings. And so it appeared that was going to be a subject matter that I was going to deal with for a period of time. But the more I looked at it, and it's very time consuming to have to trace down and to do these things or learn these things or whatever. But I sent what I would call, just because we're not going to do this, and let me back up for us, make that statement. We're not going to do this particular subject unless something appears that would be of value. And I can see something right now already working in this morning's lesson about numerics, but I'm not going to make that the champion of everything here. It's going to be kind of a sideline issue, and if it points to something, as it will this morning, we'll keep that in mind. But here's a sample. If you've got that document, the numeric sample, there was a man by the name of Panin. I think he was Russian, and he got into the scriptures and he discovered that there is a lot of numerics in the scriptures. And here's an example of Matthew 1 through 11. 11 verses, and this is what he came up with. Using the Greek text, we see that, and he gives us 8 things here. A, this passage has a vocabulary of 49 words. So there's 49 words in Genesis, or in Matthew 1 through 11, and that would be King James Version. 49 words. Well, that stands out pretty simply. 7 times 7. We're looking for the number 7 here in each of these lines. So that so we break down the number of words such as this one. 7 times 7 is 49 words. 28 of these begin with a vowel. 7 times 4. Yeah, so what? 21 begin with a consonant. 7 times 3. And D, 7 end with a vowel. 7. And 42 in E says 42 ends with a consonant. 7 times 6. You see where this is going, I think. We notice this number 7, which means something pretty strongly in the scriptures. But every one of these, F shows 49, 7 times 7. It has 266 letters, which is 7 times 38. And of these letters, 140 are vowels, and 7 times 20, and H, 126 are consonants, 7 times 18. So if you don't have this document, it's probably a lot harder to understand here. But basically, anybody, I think, in your right mind for the most part, would look at this and say, think about this. Lay this out in front of you. Here's this book that's been written over a long period of time. It's by different people. It wasn't just one person who wrote this book. And you see that this, in the first 11 verses that he took here, and he went beyond this, by the way, back in the early 1900s, he knew Bollinger, and I think he knew Welch. He may have met Welch. Welch is the one who's written this up here. But you'll notice that that number seven is key here. And then if you go and look and see what the word seven has to do with, it has to do with perfection. And if you got to at least look at the odds here. What are the odds for this piece of paper in front of you making that statement that these are all associated with the number seven? Now, you can do this on many, many things. We're not going to take that kind of time. We will, we'll mention at least this morning, because we're going to be dealing with Daniel. And that's the second thing that I sent out. And I believe you may have seen this before. This figure, this is entitled The Present Dispensation of the Mystery. And it's got the picture of this man, which appears to have a beard, and down, you know, down through, he makes one creature, so to speak. So he's got a head of gold, and it represents something. He's got a breast and arms and silver, that represents something. Belly and thighs and brass and so forth. And so this ties us in with chapter 2 of Daniel, and it's a timeline in some respect. And you can see that the head itself represents a Babylonian empire. And then you go on down with, and if you know anything about the history there, you can see the numbers that come down this left side, pretty hard to read, they're small. But this was a dream by Nebuchadnezzar, and it was followed up by Daniel, and the Lord interpreted that dream. So what does that have to do with this, with what we're doing? And by the way, our new subject now has to do with the mystery. I'm going to cover, my question is, how many mysteries? And maybe we'll call it that. How many mysteries are there? I've told the story that when I was, went off to college, in a small college in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just for one semester, I met a guy who, we went out one Friday evening and went to a coffee shop and whatever, and we're talking about the scriptures, and I knew absolutely nothing about the scriptures other than I knew this was a good book and you better do what it says or you're gonna get beaten or something and whatever. But I didn't really know that much about it. I knew about a lot of stories and so forth, but I didn't understand things that had to do with salvation or the word itself and how powerful it is and so forth. And so he took a napkin, forgive me if you're tired of hearing this, he took a napkin and he drew a line across it, and then he double folded it back so that when you open the fold, the line gets longer. I don't know if you can understand that or not. And he also wrote in, he filled in essentially what we will see in chapter 9 if we read further, and that has to do with the 70 weeks of years that Daniel speaks of, which, by the way, is the numerics that we'll have for today if we get that far. But in Daniel chapter 9, there's definitely some things that are very powerful when it comes to numerics. But having said that, he began to describe to me what each phase of that line meant and whatever. And all of a sudden, it just hit me like a bolt of lightning that this Bible is pretty cool after all. It's not just about, you know, being a good guy and so forth, being Mr. Nice Guy. It's got truth in it. It's got a story in it. It's got so much in it. And that's when I began to study and read the scriptures, and particularly this particular subject, which had to do with back in the 1960s and whatnot, there was a lot of what they called Jesus freaks. So there was a group of, and a time period there when much was being said about the rapture and stuff like that. So anyway, that's partially what is represented here. I don't want to get off too far here, but I better make sure I don't lose my clock here. So anyway, that's what we're going to see when we look at this. So this morning I'm going to attempt to get through those verses. I'm not going to hit this real heavy initially. We got plenty of time, I think. It's even greater if we don't, and we're going to appear with him in glory soon. That would be extra great. But anyway, we will look at particularly this particular passage. But what in the world does this have to do with anything here? What in the world does it have to do with the mystery? Does anybody know? Well, I'll tell you, at least what I know. And that is that this mystery, and we know about the mystery in Ephesians in particular, and forgive the form, forgive me for the for forgetting what I was just talking about. At any rate, we're going to look at what? And I apologize here because I got two or three things opened up in front of me, and I got to settle my eyes on one thing. So that we're talking about the mystery. We're going to look at every occurrence of the mystery in Scripture. And where does the first one appear? Does anybody know that? Anybody? First mystery. Very good. Daniel. So, if, I don't know if you knew that, but as I told you the story, my story about the Scriptures and someone pointing some things out to me, this is what led me into understanding that there is a mystery that is associated with the church, which is his body. Now, if you got the mystery paper that I sent, it's called Mystery Periods. I don't know how many of you got that. It's 11 by 17, so if you print it on 8.5 by 11, it's going to be pretty small. But this was something 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that I did for Bible Explorations. And I found a few mistakes on it. I need to update that. But it speaks of five different periods of time and that speak of a mystery, or mysteries plural. And so that's the issue we're going to deal with over the next few weeks, hopefully. How many mysteries are there? And so there was a time that I knew there were two. I was sitting in a conference that was led by Mr. Baker. And remember this during, it was in 1975 in a church, a mid-Acts church that I was on the board for, I believe. And I don't really know how we got him in there. And I think there was people surprised when we had Oscar Baker speaking in this particular church. And anyway, we did. And I was sitting there while he was teaching Ephesians chapter 3. And he read the scriptures there, and he's talked about two of these mysteries that came to my mind. I said, well, wait a minute. All this time I've been taught that there's one mystery. And all of a sudden, here's this one that's called the mystery of Christ. And that changed everything for me. It changed all my study habits or whatever. I wanted to get to the bottom of that. Well, unfortunately, I stopped there back then. Because now I'm looking at this list in front of me. There's 27 verses in the New Testament where the word mystery, the mysterion, is used. And it's nine times in the Old Testament. And so you'll see, in this case, the number three comes into the picture. If you start dividing these up, we won't do that until we get through it. But anyway, this represents five periods of time. I want to make sure that we understand that this is more, has to do with time than it does, the actual mysteries and what they are and whatever. But, if you have a hold of one of those, you can get a hold of one of those, it'll help you greatly, I believe, because it's got all of these listed. They're organized into five different columns. And it just so happens that Daniel is the first one in Scripture to mention a secret or a mystery. And one of the things we will discover is that it is the fullness of the... called the fullness of the Gentiles. If we would, let's look at a couple of verses if I can remember by memory, which isn't too good right now. Luke chapter 24 and let me see if I can find that. Luke 21, 24. We read this, and they shall fall by, well, you need to read before this, obviously. The Lord is speaking, I believe, to his disciples here. Verse 22 says, for these be the days of vengeance. He's talking about the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until what? The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, when is that fulfillment going to happen? When are they going to be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles? I think most of us are aware of what happened after Acts 28, after the book of Acts. And let's never forget that there's another approximately 7 years in there before these things came into being. So this is an important part of what we're studying. But we don't start with the New Testament now. We're starting with the Old Testament. And Daniel happened to be the lucky one who gets to bring this thing to life. And I think we'll have time to read this morning. I'm getting a little bit off track here. Also, let's look at Romans chapter 11, 25. And these are subjects that we'll take, hopefully we'll deal with in time, when we're dealing with each individual mystery. So this one is 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, this is in the context of the wild olive tree, the olive branches and whatever. And verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So what we'll see here is several of these mysteries come together during that period of time before Ephesians was written, and before Colossians was written, and so forth. And we'll see that there's more than one mystery. In fact, we'll see there's more than three mysteries. And just here in chapter 9 of Daniel, sorry. Now I lose my train of thought here. During this period of time, we will see that there are things that nobody knew. And guess who received the mystery here? It was a Gentile. It was Nebuchadnezzar. And of course it came from God. It came through Daniel's lips and so forth. And if you go to the next chapter, we're going to see more on this particular subject. But that word occurs 9 times in chapter 2 and 1 time in chapter 4, I believe it is, 4:9, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9. There's another one. So, we'll go through these and try to work them out, and there'll be some that might scan through a couple of these periods that we have listed on this paper. It might be more than one time that something is used or it deals with. So, having said that, I think, let me make sure my little notes here. I want to make mention of one other thing. So now we have this word. This word is called Mysterion. We've talked about it because we've named this site Mysterion Bible site or whatever you call it. And so what we can do now is begin to break down these. The word Mysterion itself is not given to everybody. If you go back and start reading the usage of this word, and it's not given to those who were believers who were not walking in the way that they should walk. And you think back, for each of you who know the mystery, it should have made something in your mind click that, hey, there's something special here. And I'm not so special myself, but this has made me very special in Christ with what he's doing. So we have that word used several times, during the New Testament, obviously, and we'll work our way through that. So without going any further, beyond that, what we're talking about, let's go to the book of Daniel and chapter 2. And we will read through that. And let me make sure. Hang with me for 1 second here. Yeah. I'll be careful I don't lose you. Okay, I'll get back to this in a few minutes. But let's look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to try to cut this short, even though I can't see my clock right now, what time we started. But I'll try not to take too long. Beginning the first verse, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Now, what I wanted to do was throw in the fact that we're talking about a specific word here that we're defining as the mysterious truth, the mystery. But there are other words, or there are a few other words in the Old Testament. One is Sather, S-A-T-H-A-R. That's the Hebrew name for the word. And it just means secret. And let me see if we've got a couple of those handy here, where that verse is. Let's look at, real quick, just a quick sideline, Psalm 27. And I wrote it down correctly. We're getting there. Hang on. Psalm 27. Verse 5 through 9. Let's read that. One thing I have desired of the Lord, verse 4, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret. So this is not mysterion. And we would find mysterion in the Septuagint. If we're looking at the Septuagint here, we'd see this, that's not the case. It's a different word. But it speaks of the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. One other place real quickly, Deuteronomy 29:29. And we read, the secret things, now I'm going to read what you read here in the King James. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there was secrets that these people dealt with during this period of time that definitely was associated with the dispensation that they were going through at that particular time. So there were secret things that were obviously available to the Jews and throughout the Old Testament period of time. So one other place I want to look at, and that's in Genesis chapter 41. And this is talking about another guy who's a dreamer, or he can interpret dreams. And in fact, if you remember Joseph, I believe it was on three occasions he had interpreted a dream. The first two was first to his own family, to his brothers, and then there was one to his mother and father, and they both blew him off because of the way that was given to him. And they were cautious about what he said. And I think it was Jacob that was, however, he paid attention to it and was wondering if the Lord had something to do with it. And then there was a dream with one of the cooks, I believe, and Pharaoh and so forth. And then the one we want to look at happens to be in Genesis, Genesis 41. And I'm going to start in a few verses back from 45. Let's back up around 36, maybe. 41, 36. So he's giving this. This is in the midst of the answer that he's giving to Pharaoh about what this dream meant. And if you remember, the dream had seven cows in it that were healthy, and then there were seven that were non-healthy, and they represented what was about to happen to the world at this particular time. And so Joseph was capable of reading that and to be the one to handle that particular venture. And if we look at verse 45 here, if we read this, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So he rewards him for what he answers there, for what he does. But notice what Pharaoh called Joseph's name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. And if we can cut this, see if we've got it in the margin here, 45. This too is not Hebrew, but Egyptian. Abundance, da da da, the whole name, abundance of life, food for the living. And I have in another place a lexicon that says that this means a revealer of secrets. So Joseph had a name that the Gentiles recognized as one who was a revealer of secrets. We see that when we look at that particular passage of scripture, that Joseph is a type of Christ. And I think that's fulfilled when we consider the fact that there's a revealer of secrets here. So, back to Daniel chapter 2, I'll try not to talk too much here. Let's just let this speak for itself. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. Now, one thing about the book of Daniel, just real quickly, is that there part of it is written to in Hebrew, and part of it is in Syriac, which is Aramaic. Yeah. So it's strange, right in the middle here in verse 4, he splits off and begins to write in Hebrew, I believe it is, as opposed to the other. So all the way up to through 7. It's something that we need to deal with if you're studying this and see how to approach it. But for the sake of what we're doing now, it doesn't matter for us. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me if ye will not make known unto me the dream. With the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. So basically, Nebuchadnezzar says, if you can't answer this, he says, I've forgotten what it was. I don't know what it was. If you can't answer this, you're going to die. So there were several lives at stake here. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. I don't think this is the first time we read of a dream where these people's lives are at stake, and there's the chance that they would lie and so forth, and so he's not going to allow it. And it's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. They two had come together and were close to each other, and which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He was on track right now, heading for Nebuchadnezzar. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or we might know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions. So they have a little prayer meeting here, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret or mystery. First time we have it in Scripture, this mystery that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret, the mystery, revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. I want to emphasize that a mystery has to be revealed. And this is obviously going to be from the Lord. We need to deal with that when we think of the other mysteries we're going to see, and see how many people who were believers were left out because of their unbelief and for not recognizing certain things. So Daniel answered and said, "Blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things." And here the word secret is the same word we read, not for the word mysterion, but for the other word for secret. "He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went into Arioch. So all that period of time there, Daniel was meeting with the three others. "Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said this unto them, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. So for the sake of time," well, I'm going to keep reading, but we may have to cut some of this off. "Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king of haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar," well, he was given that name by Nebuchadnezzar, "art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth mysteries and maketh known to the king what shall be, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions is of thy head upon thy bed are these. And as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. So here we see a very fortunate human being who was able to, as a Gentile, gain something that others could absolutely have no access to. We really need to define that element when we talk about the rest of these mysteries, about how it is distributed, how it is revealed, a person reveals it. And is there anybody gets left out? And that's going to be a good question to ask. I'm going to stop there. If you read on, though, beginning in verse 31 and 32, yeah, beginning there. Now this is when you take out your present dispensation of the mystery, that figure that I believe Mr. Welch is the one who wrote this. But anyway, this begins to put together what happened there that we just read. And if we would have read on, he would have told us about the present Babylonian Empire that they lived in. The next phase was going to be the silver part was going to be Medo-Persian Empire. All these things now are broken down into metals. They are top heavy, so that if you break the feet, this thing's going to fall over. I think what we'll do here, I'm going to stop now because of time. We have an idea here. We'll continue next week or 2 weeks from now, whenever we decide for Christmas, the Christmas day. I think we're not going to do Christmas. We just need to decide on New Year's. So anyway, sorry that we have to stop there in the middle of that. But it definitely tells, you know, if you read on for yourself, you'll see in verse 47 and 40, and you know, verse 47 once again speaks of that word. And then there's one more place in Daniel. It's in chapter 4. We need to look at that too. So we'll have plenty to do, I think, over the next few months if we continue successfully with this particular passage of Scripture. So I'm going to stop there and hope it wasn't too bad of a place to stop. But we'll pick it up and review it and deal with it New Year's, I guess. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for how wonderful you are, for how wise you are in the way that you work. And we see how important these things are for all believers in history to know truth, to know the actual secrets or the mysteries that God himself has kept silent until a certain period of time. Thank you so much that we enjoy and are blessed with the knowledge of these things, Father. We ask your hand upon those who are in need of care now and look forward to what you have in store for us and for how you will use us. And these things we thank you now in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.